If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, please. The book of Exodus. If you're a note taker, I've got a number of notes for you this morning. And if you can't keep up, just let me know and I'll email you the notes. Because this is not a 2 or 6 or 7 parter, so I want to get through it. So I might go a little too fast. Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. I'm going to go through a number of verses you can jot down in Exodus chapter 40, but we're going to begin in 34, verse 34 this morning. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode therein, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of the house, all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for another year that we have to serve you. We thank you, Lord, for our health. As we take it so often for granted, and we can see by just the people who aren't here how that's foolish to take our health for granted. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the hearts and the ears and the minds of everyone here and help us to learn from your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's a new year. We have turned the calendar now to 2020. It's a new decade. There are New Year's resolutions. There is thoughts of what's going to happen this year and the years ahead. So I want to talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions, but I also want to talk about learning from the people of Israel in the wilderness. If you have a New Year's resolution, number one, it ought to be this: to make your heart Christ's home. To make your heart Christ's home. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Is Christ at home in your heart? If not, there is no other decision you need to make for 2020 than to make sure that Jesus Christ is in your heart, that he dwells inside of you, that he has forgiven you of your sins, that you have come to a place where you've confessed your sins and realized that only Jesus Christ can forgive you. Number two, determined to please Christ every single day. Every single day. Jesus didn't come to sit on a throne in Jerusalem. He came to sit on your throne in your heart. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Please Him daily. Seek Him daily. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Everything you do to the glory of God. Honor Him with your life. Choose to please Him daily. Number three, don't let anything get between you and your relationship with Christ. Don't let anything get between you and your relationship with Christ. James 4:17, "Therefore to him that doeth knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Now, the thing that actually gets between you and Christ is a sin, no matter what the act is. For example, you might like to play golf. And Sunday morning comes, and it's a beautiful 72 degrees out, sunny, and absolutely no wind. And you decide to go play golf instead of come to church. Golf becomes a sin to you. And you can fill that in with anything. Shopping, hunting, fishing, whatever. I don't care. It becomes a sin when it comes between you and your relationship with Christ. Christ did not die to be anybody's second fiddle. He is first, or He's nothing at all. Strive, commit yourself to not letting anything come between you and your relationship. That's the key. You'll have a successful 2020 if you do just what I've said there and not to go on. But you know me, I'm going on. So let's look back and see what we can learn or understand from the people in the wilderness. Exodus 40, verses 1 and 2 said, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month, shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation." So the first thing they did, that was Exodus 40, verses 1 and 2. The first day of the year, they set up the tabernacle. Or in other words, they placed God at the center of their life. Place God at the center of your life. Have every decision based upon Jesus Christ at the center of your life. God allows you to make that choice. As I said before, choices have consequences. What do you want your year to be like? Look back at 2019. Look at how times where you did not allow God to have His throne in your life, you put yourself on the throne, and look how it ended up. Every time, I take control of that will, I run it headline into a tree and mess up my life. Don't allow that. Place God at the center of your life. Offer your life up to Him. This has to be done daily, folks. Sometimes multiple times in a day. We need to offer ourselves up to Christ. Lord, I've messed up. Help me do better the rest of the day. Lord, help me to do better tomorrow. Lord, help me do better today. The Bible says, Romans 12 that we've been going over. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is what I'm doing in my life glorifying Him? Am I pleasing God with what I'm doing? With what I'm doing today, can God use that to reach somebody for Him? We are responsible for the priority of the things that we do. We're responsible. We make the choices. So we need to make the main thing and keep the main thing the main thing. That's pleasing Him. That's living for Him. Make the first thing, and don't worry about all the rest. Put Him first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What does prioritizing things in your life do for you? Number one, make Scripture first and foremost and the core of everything you do. Verse 20 of Exodus chapter 40 says this, "And he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark." Scripture was important to them. And we have to ground ourselves in the Bible. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Put our confidence in that. He's working on me. He's still working on me. You know that old song? He's going to keep on working on you too. But we have to be grounded. And what do we be grounded in? We got to be grounded in His Word. Not what I think, but what the Bible says. So we live by biblical principles. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How many people get up in the middle of the night because you have to, and there's no light on, and you've stubbed your toe, and it is so painful to stub your toe, and now the whole house is wakened up by you because there was no light? You couldn't see your path. How many times in life do we stub our toe because we don't see and we fall down? The Bible, God's Word, is our light. It lets us know which way to go. It lets us know how to live. It has the answers for our life, and we must be grounded in it. So if we are grounded in it and we're living by His principles, we grow in the Bible, which means that we are going to grow in Christ. As newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. The more you get in the Word, the more you study it, the more you want to study it, the more deeper you want to get into it. Making priorities in your life. Make Scripture first and foremost, and the core. Number two, cleanse yourselves daily. Just like our physical bodies need a cleansing every day, our spiritual bodies need a cleansing every day. It's not good once a week just to take your bath on Saturday night. And it's not good for you just to take a bath on Sunday morning, spiritually here. We need to cleanse it. That's what was the mercy seat above upon the ark. They put it on there as a semblance of cleansing. Hebrews 9:22 It says, and almost all things are purged with blood, with the shedding without shedding of blood is no remission. So we strive not to sin. Yes, we're not perfect, but we strive not to sin. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Daily cleansing ourselves. Daily asking God to forgive us. But striving not to sin. Someone said, keep short accounts with God. And I like that little phrase. Because if you don't keep short accounts with God, guess what? You get farther and farther away from him. Well, kind of like this sin. Maybe I'm going to wait a week. Then I'll ask God to forgive me. Then 2 weeks. Then 3 weeks. Then 4 weeks, then 5 weeks. You get the picture. Then it turns into months. But if we cleanse ourselves daily, that's keeping a short account with God. God, I confess that sin. God, I repent of that sin. God, help me not to do that sin again. Number 3, separate yourself from sin. Now, sometimes this is a place. Sometimes these are friends. Sometimes these are relationships that are taking you down. We have to separate ourselves from sins. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. Separation. I just listed the verse Romans 12:1-2. You can put it down here too. We need to be separated. Sometimes that's giving up a friend who's taking us down. Sometimes it's not going where we ought not to go. Doing what we ought not to do. Be committed to separate from sins. There's a couple of verses you can jot down. Hebrews 12:1, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Note in your life, know those sins that trip you up. Know those sins that easily beset you. And stay away, determined not to go there. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Note those sins. Mentally, you know it, and determine not to go there. Number 4, make sure Christ is your daily strength and your bread of life. Exodus 40:22-23 says, and he put the table of the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. John 6:35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. Christ gives us that bread, bread for strength, bread for growth. Yes, even bread for enjoyment. All the necessities of life, Christ has come to give you. Another priority, number 5. Follow the daily guidance of Jesus, the light. Talked about that in Psalms 119:105. Exodus 40:24, and he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Will you walk close enough to the light so you don't get sidetracked by a shadow? Will you walk close enough to the light in 2020 that you won't lose focus of the light, keeping your eyes and your focus on Jesus Christ? And as Beverly sung, number 6, pray daily. I'll emphasize this again this year at the beginning because I emphasize it every year in hopes that people take Jesus more seriously, pray more, and pray more, and pray more. It says in Exodus 40:29, and he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered up upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering as the Lord commanded Moses. Psalm 141:2 says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Revelation 5:8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bells full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5:8. That's what God considers our prayers. Sweet odors. Have a daily prayer time. Have a special place where you go and you get alone with God and you spend some time with Him. Number 7, raise up a wall between you and temptation. In verse 33 of Exodus 40, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Build up a wall that you'll refuse temptation. Build up a wall that will keep you from temptation. Build up a wall so that nothing comes between you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Then stay behind that wall daily. What happens when we prepare? Let me give you 3 final things. I know I've gone fast. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. I'm down in verse 34 now of Exodus 40. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Number 1, what happens when you prepare? What happens when you set priorities? Then you will be able to walk daily with God. Verse 36, when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. The Lord said, get up, it's time to go. And he moved them ahead. And they walked daily with him. Number 2, sometimes he says, we're not going anywhere today. You're just going to settle down and rest. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with taking a break. Nothing wrong with settling down and resting. Verse 37, if the cloud wasn't taken up, then they journeyed not that day. They waited on God. Sometimes we want to get ahead of God and tell God, I hope you're with me, but I'm going ahead. That's a bad place to be. Bad place to be. Settle down, rest, wait on God. The Israelites said, we're not going anywhere. If you're not going with us, God, we can't go anywhere. We all need to do that. And number 3, if you walk daily, you wait on Him, you will have His presence with you. Look at verse 38. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. in Hebrews 13:5, quoting the Old Testament, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon any of you. He's with you. His presence is with you. But we have to place Him first in our life. It's a choice we make, and it's a choice we make daily to put Him first. And I pray that's what you do this year, 2020. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know where you're at spiritually. I've given you some pointers to help you through your life. But be rest assured, none of what I told you matters if you didn't get point one. And that's making sure Christ has a home in your heart. That there's been a time and a place that you can go back to where you said, Lord, I'm done. I confess all my sins to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. If you have not done that, we're going to give an invitation this morning. Jay's going to come and we're just going to sing one verse. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and give 2020 over to God. This could be the year Jesus Christ returns for His children. Are you ready for that? Are you prepared for that? Are you watching for that? I pray that you are. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful word from your people back in Exodus and how we are to treat this year. Several thousands of years later, learning from them, I pray that we would put you first. I pray that if somebody's here not knowing you as personal Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. And I pray for all those that do, that we would make sure you're first in our life every single day of 2020. Bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.